Thanks for press and play. Welcome to the Wool Gathering. And have an idea about a thing, stuff. Frank was talking about before, one time he came up with an idea, Frank Gather and Nora on the Overnightscape, about this hypothesis that, you know, there was timelines and, you know, the outcome of other timelines, if you could think of it like, and PQ is kind of saying, just a blank icon or a blank thumbnail, like a black thumbnail. There is no outcome on that timeline. It's not a good outcome. So one of the things, like this theory that Frank was saying was like all these different timelines, the reason that the things that are happening, and maybe these people, the Illuminati or whatever, or even higher than that, are doing like certain things, is a pandemic or whatever you might say, is to keep us on a particular timeline where we keep like existing, because the other timelines don't look well for humanity. Like it's a possible, it's a hypothesis, like who knows, that's, you know, but I thought that was interesting. But another one that I have had before, but I have never said it, is that basically if you think of say another race of beings that are maybe higher in the hierarchy. So it seems like there is something in the hierarchy. I don't know if it's in different dimensions or, you know, whatever, but there's probably something higher than the human, right? So, and I don't know if there's hybrid humans or whatever, maybe there is as well. But say there is this other species that's above humans, right? And they're way more intelligent, right? They've figured out a lot of things. AI, they know our psychology, that we're sort of wild or whatever. We're a bit feral, you know, especially compared to them. They know all the possibilities. So to steer us in the right direction, they know our beliefs are still tied to like these old beliefs of like good and evil and tribal things and stories and narratives and things like that. So they steer us in one way, the culture in the way, and even the top hierarchies of our culture into a way that it spins the story of this evil or whatever it is integrates it into this these higher maybe secret societies or whatever. So that's the story there. So it sucks in all of those people like a magnet or a node, to those people who are especially guided towards that sort of thinking, like whether they might believe they're evil or if they're psychopaths or highly motivated or that kind of thing. And it just kind of integrates those type of people, sucks those type of people in to that particular higher society, make them feel like they are part of something big, that they are gaining power, that it is a powerful thing. And in this world at the moment, it is real power or conceived as such, you know, if you have money and influence and all that kind of thing. And in those higher societies, that's where you can achieve that. So get all of them in there. So you suck as many of those in as you can, and then eventually, when the time is right, blow them all wide open, like make them do the craziest, you know, most awful things, because that's what they think they believe or whatever, and then ultimately expose them and bring to light all the technology and everything else, so that the rest of humanity, who are, you know, pretty normal or whatever, have a better chance of success. So, you know, that's another hypothesis, not saying it's an actual thing or not. And yes, it's probably very far-fetched or whatever. It's probably a bit of a stretch or whatever. But it's another way of looking at it. Maybe all of these things we think, oh, they're the evil ones or whatever, but maybe they're just there to be taken down in the end. Or maybe not, I don't know. Or maybe they're not actually into that sort of stuff either. It's just part of the fooling people, and actually the goal is for good in the end anyway. I'm just trying to find a ways that I'm hoping it's for good in the end. I just have to hope it's for good in the end. But anyway, let's start off with that as the hypothesis for this show. That's the benevolent rulers, or maybe not even rulers, but you know, influencers from outside that we can't see that are trying to lead us in the right direction and that kind of thing. All right, be right back. Now, it's like nearly a week later or something since I last recorded, so I have no idea. I have 5 minutes recorded there, so I presume that's the introduction or whatever, and no idea what I was talking about, so I can't really do any continuity there. I didn't play it back or anything, so I don't know. It's a fresh week. It's a Monday. I've been thinking, I've been busy all weekend. My wife is working the weekend and the day, and looking after my daughter in the day, and there's basically, we didn't do any visits this weekend, so we're just keeping her entertained, constantly bringing her out places. Luckily, it was lovely weather, so that was good. And we went to the aquarium yesterday, and then we went to two different playgrounds that she likes as well. And the day before that, we went to playgrounds again, and what else did we do? Oh, toys and her McDonald's with chicken nuggets. So two great days for Kaylin. That's good. I think she enjoyed it. Lots of photographs and everything else. I'm also thinking that I need to do, I've been conscious of the Overnight Escape Central, and I didn't get any time really. I seem to be constantly doing something, so I don't have time to sit down and do this. And the only time I get to do this is either driving in the car or walking. And usually, a lot of the time, I can't do it when I'm walking because it's too windy. Like today is a pretty miserable day. It's rainy, foggy, visibility's bad, it's windy, it's pretty cold. And compared to the last 2 days, especially. But yes, it's the only chance. And then I'm thinking about the Overnight Escape Central this week is to contribute for stuff that makes you laugh. And I don't know, like, I don't know what to do for that. Maybe I should be recording that now, because as you see, it's already Monday, and I think it's supposed to be submitted on Monday or whatever, and I didn't get a chance the whole weekend and all that kind of thing. Well, I just finished my walk, and I thought about a few things, but I don't think they're for this episode, and they're not really for the central either. And my battery's getting low, and now I have to go to the shop. Oh dear. Why did that only record 15 minutes? I've been going for about an hour and, I don't know, I've been going, what, not trying to leave, more than an hour, I'd say, walking there. My watch trying to record the thing. Kind of thinking, but the stuff I was thinking for is kind of for another episode that I'm thinking of, and or maybe I'll just restart this one or something. I don't know. I'm all doing stuff. I'm all executive function, so I gotta go to the supermarket now, and I'm doing. I don't know. I'll switch this back on if I think of something, I guess. It's another day. I'm not sure even if I recorded yesterday. It seems like it's going to be impossible to get this show together this week. Because nothing in particular on my mind, really. Been looking at TikTok on that. Did a follow-up appointment for my ADHD meds, and gonna increase the dosage anyway and see. So that's gonna be probably a bit nuts again, getting used to, you know, because it was pretty powerful in the beginning, like taking a Red Bull or something. So I guess it's going to be kind of like that feeling again until my body sort of acclimatizes, or whatever the word is. There's another word I keep trying to say, I keep forgetting it for that. Now, I don't know if that looks like rain over there, but it's sort of sunshiny over there. And also, I forgot my sort of dry phone, which I might need. But anyway, I think that's what the kids are calling it now, the dry phone. I think they're referring to it as the one without, they're mostly talking about dating, I think, or whatever. Or I'm just referring to everybody, more or less. So, yeah, what I've been looking at on TikTok, it's doing a lot of lizard stuff at the moment. Still a lot of five-dimensional stuff, lizard stuff. You know, these beings in control are lizards or whatever, and the people, I guess, like Mark Zuckerberg and all that, are kind of lizards as well or something, or are in with the lizards or something. Again, going back to Conan the Barbarian thing, you know, that the top of the culture are these sort of lizard beings. Or V, if you want. V, they're kind of, they look human, but they're lizard inside. Now, I don't know if that's practically the idea, like if they existed, would they have actual face coverings like they did in V, in like a Newtonian sense, I suppose you could say, like it's a physical thing, or is it like at a quantum level or a DNA level where there is a bloodline or DNA, an extra DNA, like a third DNA, like I saw, that's what I saw, a third DNA strand. So a triple helix, I guess you call it. So is it on a DNA level where you can't actually really see it? And maybe, I don't know, maybe you see it sometimes, maybe they shape shift a little sometimes or something. Or maybe they have an extra tongue or something, I don't know. But aren't we kind of like lizard-like anyway, if you take away all of the stuff that supports the brain and the spine, that's what we are. We're this snaky looking thing with a head on it anyway. We're sort of lizard like if you take the whole body away. You need the body to support that bit though. But that's kind of what we really are. Unless what you want to say what we really are is the kind of ethereal thing, which is the quantum information and stuff going on in our consciousness, going in between the wetware, which is, yeah, that is really what we are. I don't know how much further you could go with that. Would that be the same for like an ant, or, you know, what's the smallest you can go? That would be pretty much the same. And what is consciousness then, or whatever? Right. See, it's getting dull down here, and I'm really, this is not looking very enticing for walking. I don't know. Should I do this? Just like
home. I have no water with me. I don't know where this is going. I don't think this is going anywhere. Okay. Stop this. And it's another day. I'm having such a time trying to record anything, get this together again. You know, it's like sometimes, it's like, I don't know, it's like I feel like recording now, so I'll press record. And I'm like, you know, I have all these things to say. Then it starts recording. It is a bit of a phenomenon. I know that, like, in, I mean, that's why you want to hire good actors that practice and rehearse and know the thing, because, you know, once it's on and there's people observing and watching, or there's an observer, in this case a recorder or whatever, it does just totally change things immediately. I suppose unless you just have it on all the time, and then in that case you're bound to capture stuff and then you just got to edit it down. That's not a bad idea. I'm sure there is things out there that I could probably just wear around my neck 24/7, record absolutely everything. You know, sometimes that would be very handy for arguments. Constantly my wife is like, you said this. No, I didn't. I said that. Oh, I wish I'd recorded. I can rewind it and show you exactly what you said, you know. So anyway, I had to go. I'm minus lots of money overdraft on my card, and I didn't know if it would work, but I wanted to get coffee for my sister, a bag of coffee. She likes this particular brand, Nick's Coffee in Wicklow. And I was just chancing my arm to see if it would work, because I'm going back that way. I have to go back and get my, I believe they're called dry phones. I want to go back and get my dry phone in case she cancels or decides to cancel, or in case she's late or anything else. And because I forgot it. I knew I forgot something when I left. And you know, I've sort of a construct in my mind about a show that I want to do, and how I'm going to do it a little bit, but it's not this show. And this show is about nothing in particular. I have some other things recorded for it. It's like Obama. I think last time I said Obama and what's her face, and I didn't put them on, or they missed, they're edited out, or so I don't know. I think I have one of them. Anyway, I just got to run in and get this phone. Hold on. And on we go. Okay. So that's that done. Got the thing, just in case. And, alright, I'm going to go. I'll get the other way. And I also got her a little present. It's a, I don't know what are they called here? OMG to Holy Buddha. I don't know what the hell. I don't know what they're called, but you know the little Buddha bells?
You ding them, you know, for meditation, kind of. I got her one of them. Oh, hold on, I get a phone call.
Right, now I think I remember what I was going to... One of the things I was going to talk about was... Yeah, Frank mentioned, oh, it was a great show, the worm, I forget what was it called, some wormhole or something. And Frank was talking about all sorts of stuff, conspiracy stuff. It was great, great show, really enjoyed it. And then towards the end of it, he was talking about something that I was trying to pin down and understand, which was like being introverted and then talking in a group, and then, or talk, just, you know, doing extroverted stuff or whatever, talking to people, and then like afterwards feeling like so drained and all that, and what was it. And I was coming up with you know, and it happened to me again, either the universe or TikTok kind of picks up on it, and it was sending me things like different reasons why this happens. One of them was a spiritual reason, one of them was saying a psychological reason. It wasn't exactly explaining introvertedness, but Frank was explaining it as an introverted perspective, saying that, well, just paraphrasing, he was more or less saying you have an internal model because you're introverted. You've got this sort of internal model of who you are from the inside out, kind of thing, more or less from the inside. I suppose everyone has a model of themselves inside, but when you're introverted, I guess you know yourself a lot more. Your inside or whatever, your internal model of who you are, you know it quite well, I guess. And so what he was saying was what that probably is when you're out with doing the extroverted thing is that people don't know that part of you, and they're really just talking to your face, kind of, because that's all they know, really. And because it's, I guess, so frustrating or whatever, that when it's over, you just have this feeling of sort of despair. And he was sort of saying, well, that fades, and that's it. That's what you have to deal with it or whatever. That's just the way it is, because that was his theory. And I think it was a very good theory, and I actually did think of that. So you see, it's hard to say what you think sometimes. Sort of these things kind of pass through your mind, and then I don't explain it well or whatever. But yeah, I did sort of think of that as well. So I think that's an interesting way to think about it. That you have this. So there's conflicting things about what you view of yourself that other people are not jiving with, I suppose. They're not talking to the real you, or that's what you feel like anyway. Well, so those people who don't know themselves that well, they're happy to just exist in that shallowness, where this sort of back and forth, whatever it is, banter, talking topics, I don't know. It's just this face value thing or whatever. And but there's a conflict then of your inner self and your outer self then, and I guess it could cause a couple of conflicts that way psychologically, because number one, then you can't be true to that what you feel is an authentic model of yourself anyway, because that's the model you've built internally of what your world is internally of who you are. And then so you're talking in this other world that then you're a shallower world that you can't express that part of you, and that part of you is not accepted either. And also something that I feel even further which is more like further annoying, is that if you ever, when you do try to express those parts of yourself, they're shut down very quickly, and you're not able to express them because it doesn't fit in with the current mode of communicating. And that is also frustrating, because not only can you not then be yourself, but you can't also express yourself, and you can't, and the other person isn't getting the real you either. So it's like, what's the whole point of this? It's like, it's meaningless. It's not doing anything that I want, kind of thing. And so, yeah, you fall into this feeling of sort of just, it's desperation. You're just despair afterwards, going, oh my God, this is fucking ridiculous. What's the whole point of that, And, yeah, so I think kind of Frank did a good job of explaining that. And before that, he was talking about all this conspiracy stuff. What was he talking about on the overnight scale? He was talking about the way the world is. Let me think. What was he talking about exactly? Oh, yes. One of the things he was talking about was, and I believe this is one of the things that, again, I thought of and didn't explain it again right, thing. So it's great that he's picking up on these things. It's fantastic. Basically, one of the tactics for mind control and stuff can be to show you a lot of emotional things like that you get emotionally engaged with, or that would be, you know, like people being killed, I don't know, babies being eaten, I don't know, whatever you can think that's really emotionally triggering, right? You know, like the news, basically. Anything that's bad, and like you're going, oh my god, and then straight afterwards, once you're in that state, they can then talk about whatever political views or whatever topics or something, subjects, and that will then, you'll be more susceptible to sort of agree with it or to take it on board. And I'm very aware of this on TikTok. I think it is in the algorithm to do this. I've noticed it, and it's really good to be aware of that and just see what it's trying to do, because I think it is trying to do that. On that's one of the things in the algorithm. I'm sure there's probably more things in the algorithm that I don't know about. I think it's a very, I don't know. It could be just experimental as well. It might not be to, like, out and out mind control everyone and everything, but I don't know. It's just, you know, media does a pretty good job of that anyway, so I don't know. That was one of the things he was talking about. I'm just going to get a drink of water here. Like, I don't know. Frank was saying he thinks the despicable, deplorable things or whatever, but I'm not sure. I'm not so sure. I mean, I think, number one, it could happen accidentally, right? It doesn't need to be a planned thing. Like, that sort of thing could go on all day, every day, just by living, right? So, you know, because something bad could happen, and then you could hear something, and then, you know, that kind of way. The other thing is, you know, hypnosis, and that they try to do mind, like anything else, it can be a tool for good or bad, I suppose. And how good it works or how bad it works depends on the type of person you are as well. You say 1 in 5 people are very susceptible to it, you know, 20%. 20% of people are not susceptible to it at all. And then the other 60% can be in the sort of the middle of the spectrum or whatever. And so it's just good to be aware of these things, that they exist, and also how tricky our own minds are. Never mind what's going on out there in the media and algorithms and everything else. Our own minds are very tricky, you know. We've got loopholes and everything. Like, I saw one there the other day. Actually, I'll probably show it to my sister here today as well, because you just got to be so careful of what you believe in and what you think is, you know, or the way you think the world is, and, you know, not be cocky about that at all, because we just really don't know. And if you think you know, you think your model of the world is right, you're probably wrong. So, for example, there was this one test, and it's like a very simple one. It's like, how many F's can you see? Can you count in this sentence, you know? And, you know, I was very careful. I went over it, I'd say maybe 5 times or something like that. Counted the F's, and I was like, there was three, you know. But actually, what the mind is doing is it's skipping over certain words. And so there was like 10 or something, and I was like, wow, I can't believe my own brain did that. And there's all sorts of experiments you can do like that, which, I don't know, with the eyes, your eye, you've got a blind spot and all these kinds of things. Like, the mind, the way it works is it's not exactly reality, and we're only receiving a very small spectrum of what's actually there anyway, you know, with light and infrared and all that kind of stuff. So thinking we have anything right, I know science in particular is I suppose the best we have. Now, how controlled that is from outside forces and money, and what things are hidden in it that they don't release to the public and stuff, that's a whole other thing. Like, I think science is also controlled as well, so got to be also a little careful with that. But I think it's the best we have for any sort of models of anything. You know, alright. So that was interesting. Had a walk and we continued the conversation, actually almost about the same thing there. So that was interesting, talking about the authentic self as well versus, you know, playing a role. And again, what I was talking about before with Irving Goffman, you know, saying all this stuff about that we always kind of have to play a role, that I also, there was this guy, just by coincidence, I suppose, came up on my TikTok talking about his autistic problems or whatever, and that was exactly what he was talking about as well, which was, you know, that he's just so exhausted. Did I say this already? I think I might have. He's so exhausted just trying to be in social situations, trying to be his authentic self, that he's just decided that he's going to box himself into roles instead, because he's just exhausted doing anything else. And so we're talking about that a bit, and my sister was saying that she felt she could be her authentic self, about, especially, you know, with her nearest and dearest and all that, and with her family. And I was like, yeah, but you're still playing a role no matter what. Like, you're still a wife or a mother or whatever. There's still a stage set wherever it is for you to play the role. But you might find it as hard to play some roles. You might be know them so well that you're comfortable in them, but you're still playing a role. And she was saying, yeah, but you can also be fun to play roles. You can also have a good time. I said, absolutely, yeah, of course. You know, that wasn't the crux of the argument. It wasn't that it's not fun, I guess. But I guess for this guy and for me, in social situations, I guess that you're not so comfortable with a role, or you don't know what role to play, maybe, that can be exhausting, or yeah, put you in a state of despair as well. And yeah, so if you're trying to, exactly what Frank was saying, was if you're trying to be that authentic you that, you know, internal, your internal self, it will usually sort of fail. And so therefore, like the guy on TikTok was saying, you just do have to kind of resign yourself to playing a role. And often that means the role is not very interesting. It's usually quite a shallow, you know, thing. I don't know, sometimes it's the weather, sometimes the food or whatever. Yeah, so I don't know. But I guess with deep conversations or about psychology or philosophy or whatever, are usually not kind of welcome, I guess. Something like that.
The other thing I was going to just briefly mention what I think of it is, I was looking up, where is it? Freemasonry in Russia, okay? So the Grand Lodge of Russia here. See, Freemasonry was closed in 1922. It was banned, right, in Russia in 1922, right? So the Grand Lodge was established on the 24th of June, 1995. And I was going to see, well, who was in power then? It was Yeltsin. Boris Yeltsin. And it was Boris Yeltsin who stepped down and decided to put Putin in power. So that might tell you something about the current ongoing thing. And I've mentioned it before, you know, these days countries are not what you think they are anymore. If anything, what we'll probably end up living in is probably some sort of health sectors
like Sector 1, Sector 2, like Hunger Games or something. So we have this idea that countries are all so different and everything, but, you know, I think there's only... I mean, you could probably call them corporations at this stage, and the main corporation, you could probably call it Freemasons, although they probably operate under different corporations, which I suppose you could call Vanguard and BlackRock, who own most things and have most influence. And then, yeah, I mean, you do have armies of the particular countries and that kind of thing, but they would be... for the movements of whatever agendas then they wanted to impose or whatever. And the rest of it is just a stage then to make it look like, well, this is what's happening, you know. I think that's the way it currently is. Maybe before it was like that, it was really country against country. I guess at one stage it would definitely have been, you know, the times of, you know, Spain going around and the Vikings going around and colonizing places in England or whatever. I think it's a little different now. Anyway, that's just wanted to mention when I thought of it.
Right. I don't know where I am in recording this thing, but I think I mentioned before about a guitar I got about 2 years ago or something. It's a headless guitar, and it's called Spirit by Steinberger. And it's got this little flippy-out thing that you can put on your leg. And it's headless. Now, I don't know if I have a tune right, but what I have it plugged into is the Roland GR55. It's a bit of a chunky-looking thing in the floor. But anyway, this is what I learned that I was meant to sound like Pat Metheny. I haven't done the Pat Metheny sound, but this is a little thing, little silly thing I've been working on just now. I've just been playing around. Trying to find some sounds, you know. So what I did was, I plug in a Roland GK3 into the guitar. What I was expecting with this guitar was that it would be able to do the synthesizer straight out of the thing. I think it has the ability to do it, but I couldn't figure it out, or you had to wire some stuff or whatever. It just seemed like a big pain in the ass. I thought it already came with the function, but obviously it didn't. I think there is a way to do it, but I'm not sure how. But anyway, I just bought the bloody Roland GK3 and just stuck that on it. And it keeps falling off. It keeps sticking. I'm trying to stick it on all the time, but it keeps falling off all the time. But anyway, trying to figure out different ways. So what you can do, it's a synthesizer basically. So it's a synthesizer guitar. So you can do all the different sounds. So you can make it sound like a piano if you want, you know. Like say, I don't know, they make it sound like a flute. Here's a flute. The idea. I forget what the Pat Metheny ones are. I think I have it stored in here somewhere. I have to do something to store it. I forget how to do all that. That's supposed to be a saxophone. What else can we make it sound like? Metal synth. I don't know, it's very muddy, that one, isn't it? Yeah, there's flutes, there's... So there's users ones here, there's a... Oh, there's an oboe. Yep, that's basically it. And that's about all I can do. That and like three chords. Good few days later, I don't know, it's been so hard to get this, put this thing together. I think the Overnightscape Underground is having some problems on the website as well, and I apologize in advance in this section for gusts of wind and stuff. Not much I can do. I'm just out on a sort of an evening walk, and it's kind of windy. I'm sure you probably hear it already. Might take another trip up around that way, actually. Yeah, maybe I will. I'll do that. Okay, I'll do that. I'll try, because I think it's less breezy up here, maybe. So apologies in advance for the quality here. It's the only chance I'm really getting recorded. I've been busy all day. And I need to see, I brought an umbrella with me, and I don't know which part of it is supposed to be. Let me just try and at least fold it up a bit, because I think it's kind of not going to rain for a second. Hold on. Oh, I think it goes around this way. And anyway, I've been talking to a friend of mine all day about this issue with, you know, just sending people... one second. Sending people information. You know, I stopped doing it for the longest time. I basically gaslit myself, I think. Because I don't think it's fair not to be able to speak your mind, or to fear speaking your mind on things you know, okay? Now, there's things I have to work on, like sometimes I will get excited, or I will get sort of lulled into an argument or something when I didn't really want to. And I'll just feel this adrenaline pump through me, and then I say all sorts of things that I don't even know what I'm saying properly. I'm not even saying things properly or anything. I'm probably just throwing in facts for my ego. Facts that aren't even real, just for my ego to feel better, to try and keep it top of the argument and all that kind of stuff. Now, I'm aware of these pitfalls, and I'm trying to be aware more of them, but I do feel like it's not fair to have free speech and me want to share some information. Like, this is pretty cool. Look what this says.
on the vaccine, right? Hot topic, hot takes. But it's information nonetheless. Maybe it's a doctor. Maybe it's a scientist, or maybe whatever, right? So these kind of things. Now, the response is usually bad. And especially on anything to do with the two main topics, which would be either the vaccine or the environmental stuff, whatever, right? Especially with the vaccine, I suppose, at the moment, whatever. And people instantly, the name for it is, they have the Agent Smith effect, right? To protect established narratives, basically. Immediately, they take this role. Which tells you, in the first instance, that this is a brainwash act. Because the normal response for people who don't really know what's going on, and they don't, they're only told from the media, whatever, the normal response should be something like, "All right, well, that's interesting. I might look into that. Could be true, could be not true." And, you know, sorry, the wind. You know, they say all this stuff on the media, but, you know, I don't know if it's true or not. Yeah, that would be sort of a normal, sort of relaxed response. But that's not what happens. What happens is people get awful squirmy. They feel this cognitive dissonance happening in their mind. They feel challenged, like they're challenging their whole worldview. Because at the moment, the way the narratives are run, that is their whole worldview. And so therefore Agent Smith comes up and they immediately challenge, no, you can't say that. Now, mind you say in general to most people and the same person probably that, well, there's a lot of corruption going on. There's a lot of stuff going on in the world. There's a lot of bad things. Absolutely, they'll agree with you. Yes, the world is corrupt. Politics is corrupt. Even the medical world is corrupt. Everything is corrupt. They absolutely agree with you. Anything specific, particularly on anything current, No, you can't say that. And it's really, really frustrating. Especially if you're someone who has looked into things a lot, who thinks about things and is known to think about things, to people close to them. And it hurts, personally. It's hurtful to watch them hurt, right? As they shouldn't have to have that reaction. But they're having that reaction because they're brainwashed. And brainwashed then to have this division. We're going to have this division because there's this big divide. I want to close the divide by just being able to talk about things. I say, look at this piece of information. Isn't that interesting? Isn't it cool? Well, yes, maybe it could be like that. And if it is, what would that mean about the world? Can't you ask questions? It's like you can't even ask questions anymore. And I stopped sending these things for years because I gaslit myself into believing that I shouldn't be doing this because people have this bad response. Now what I should be, but it's not fair. Not fair for me to have free speech because I just want to share what's in my mind. I'm not trying to have a debate. I'm not trying to have a discussion. I don't want any of that. I just want to go, isn't this cool? Look at this piece of information. What do you think of that? Oh, that's interesting. Brilliant. End of conversation. That's it. I don't want to have a confrontation. I'm not interested in any of that. And so this discussion I had with my friend went on all day about this and his reaction to things like this. And he was quite honest in the end. He said, yeah, well, kind of did feel challenged, and that's the feeling I did get and all that. I said, that was my whole point about this whole discussion. We talked about it all day. Is that I don't want you to feel like that. I don't want you to have to feel like that. I want you to question why you feel like that, please. Can't you at least see that? Why you feel like that? Please do answer that question. You know, because you feel like it's your whole worldview. But you shouldn't. You really shouldn't. And first thing we should do is just question everything anyway. And not just accept things. You know, I mean, they'll say, oh yeah, well, there probably is elites running things and banks and everything else. Oh yeah, they'll agree with you. But again, make it a specific thing, then immediately, no. You know, there's all this stuff going on, but it couldn't be the two main things that are printed every single day and are on the radio every single moment, every time you turn it on. It couldn't be those two things, could it? No, you can't question them. They must be legitimate. So basically, it's this idea about getting shot down anytime you kind of
express anything of contrarian view, particularly on current topics, let's say. And I suppose I need to see that it's not me they're having the problem with, although it feels like that because their reaction is towards me most of the time. That they're just not interested, you know, what I'm saying. That they don't trust me and there's no respect and they don't have any, they don't believe in me. That's what it seems like. Whereas what's probably happening is, again, these topics are held so such at such a core protected model in the front of their head that they feel challenged and scared if there's anything that comes along to knock it down. Because then what will they believe in? You know? That's like, oh, I thought the world was this way. And so I totally understand it. Like, we went through all this in detail about how that could happen and how people just want to be comfortable and they want to be narrow-minded, they don't want to be open-minded, especially on current views, and they just want to be comfortable and not be bothered and not have to think of anything strenuous and all that kind of stuff. But again, I just kept coming back to, like, that's mind control. It's being brainwashed. It shouldn't be like that. Like in the 80s, when we talked about the ozone, there was plenty of people that just, like, didn't give a shit about it, didn't believe it. And that was fine. People were just like, yeah, I don't know. Maybe it isn't fucking real. Nobody cared. Like, nobody cared as much. I mean, if everything was about the ozone now, can you imagine? Imagine what people say if you brought it up against it. You know? It hasn't always been like this. I think it's something to do with the amount of information out there, because there's so much information, we think we've loaded up on it and now we know. I don't know the truth either, but surely you can have a discussion about, hey, maybe that's not real or something. You know? Surely you can do that and normally just kind of go, yeah, that could be interesting, yeah. Like, wow, that'd be mind-blowing if that whole thing's true. I must look into that. And even if you don't look into it, even if you forget about it, whatever. It's just like, that would be the normal response. So I think at least by the end of it, you know, I think my friend wasn't really, didn't really, it took me a while to before he really got what I was saying, I think. I think he got what I was saying about that. I have to keep going back to the overarching thing, which was the brainwashing. And can't he see that's what it? Can't he at least see that part of it, even if it's not true, the other stuff or whatever? Can't he at least see that the reaction means that's what it means? And but he kept going back trying to do arguments on the environment and stuff. And I was like, look, I haven't looked at that in years. I was just using that as an example because that would be one of the things. And I don't want to have a debate. That's my whole point about what I was saying. That's not what I want. And it's just the discussion was on that. So, I'm just trying to walk. So I'm trying to walk against the wind here. And so anyway, I'll be right back. So anyway, yeah. So like my wife, for example, she knows, well, obviously she lives with me, so she knows all this stuff. And like she's an army, so she's like, look, I don't want to know that stuff because it does make me uncomfortable. And like the stuff that's out there, yeah, maybe it's not real, but I just want to go ahead and try and believe it anyway and just try and live my life and be comfortable and happy. And I just don't want to care about things. And I just kind of want to get on with things because, you know, it kind of bothers me. But I guess at least she knows that. And she's aware then of the other stuff. And like, that's fine. And then my friend at the end of it was kind of like, yeah, I guess that is the way it is. And, you know, I do just try to want to be comfortable. And I really just kind of don't want to, because it's scared. Don't want to, so it is kind of scares me or whatever to think about it. But I suppose it's good to know that. And people should just know that. But at the same time, I'm like, well, can't I just say things that are on my mind without you totally freaking out, kind of? Yes. And like with my wife now, I can just say things. And she's like, she's not bothered by it now. She's just like, yeah, well, that could be too. So I'm not going to go looking into it. I don't think I'm not really interested. I don't really care. You know, if we all die, if these things come, they come. Can't, nothing I can do about it, all that. And they're right. She's right. But I think it's wrong to feel that you can't say things, you know. And yeah, so that was the whole point of discussion, was sort of around free speech and brainwashing. Yeah, I thought there'd be a lot more in it, but that's basically the gist of it. The other way I sort of described it, and I have to slightly butcher this Hans Christian Andersen fairy tale, but to use as an allegory, I think you'll understand why. Basically everybody, like the response to get people to understand, everybody's like shouting that the king has no clothes, you know. And it's deafening. Like, there's no way I can not know that that's what everybody thinks, you know. And all day, it's there every day, right? In the newspaper, everything, every day, everybody's shouting this. The king has no clothes. And, you know, you find, or I find, a little box over somewhere. It looks like it has clothes in it. And there are the king's clothes. So he has got clothes. You see the way I'm butchering it up, but yeah, I think you get the idea, right? But anyway, so the idea is, you know, I show this box that might have clothes in it to people, and they're not in the least bit curious. Their instant reaction is to say, but the king has no clothes, but the king has no clothes, but the king has no clothes, right? I'm like, you don't have to tell me that. I know all that. I hear it every day. I'm deafened by it, right? But look, there's a box over here that I think might have his clothes in it or whatever, right? There is a part of it that doesn't actually make a lot of sense, isn't there? But I think, for the purpose of allegory, I think you kind of get what I'm saying here, right? But the thing is, right, if people really wanted to kind of know what the truth is, they'd be at least curious to go over and have a look at my box, right? At least a little bit, but they're not. They'll just keep shouting that. They'll just keep shouting that. And any time, even if I take out a bracelet, a leg of a jeans, okay, collar of a shirt, yeah, they're hardly even looking at the box or what I'm taking out of it. They just want to tell me the king has no clothes. Now you get what I'm saying about the brainwashing. Hopefully you do. Thank you. Like, I remember I had a friend in college who was Muslim, and you know, he believed in the Quran and all that. And he would tell me all about the Quran, and I wouldn't immediately say, well, I don't believe that, and blah, 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 and that's it, you know. You know, I actively listen and think, that's actually quite fascinating. You know, they tell me they predicted all these things, the stars, and these fascinating things. And I'm like, that is actually quite compelling. And I think, I can't remember exactly, I think I might have even bought a Quran and like read a bit of it and stuff. I kind of lost interest or whatever, but you know, I gave it some time, and I didn't completely shoot it down so quickly, you know. I mean, my point is it's someone I knew, you know, and if it's someone you know, that can change. I mean, if someone shouting from the side of the road or whatever, that's a bit different, right? Yeah, you don't have to really do much attention to that. Yeah, they could be crazy, but at least it's someone you know, and I don't know, I feel like should have respect or whatever. Then, that's what I'm saying, you know? You don't immediately shoot things down or whatever. All right. So So the hostile responses are, you know, either laugh it off, like, it's so silly or whatever, or a sarcastic response, oh, that's the way it is it? Or or just like a general dismissiveness, or you know, look down on it kind of thing, or just completely put words in your mouth. Oh, so they're going to control our brains, are they? When you neither mention the word control or brains, just completely put words in your mouth or something. And these are the tactics that are so knee-jerk. And it's amazing, really. And so the idea then as well that, you know, from another boundaries point of view again, that, well, it's none of my business anyway what other people think, right? Like, there's a truth in that as well. But also, I should be free to share my ideas without the fear of being shut down, or the fear of putting someone in that state. It's just, it doesn't feel like that's the way it should be. So the gaslight thing is like, well, one of the things, you could just stop doing it, because you know, if people are like that, then just don't share anything, self-censor, and never share your mind. Not a nice place to be, right? Not a nice way to live in the world, right? That's one option. The other option is like, you know, you gaslight yourself that you shouldn't be doing it. Gaslight yourself, I forget what I was going to say, but, you know, or just completely excluding yourself from the world, you know, because you believe, well, I'm not wanted because that's what I know or what I want to talk about, whatever. And so you can't express yourself. And so you do something like this, podcast, whatever. Keep saying you, I should be saying I. No, but it's been fun as well, and to engage in conversation. And so what I really want to try and do, instead of divide people, bring back people again that have whatever polarization, I'd just be able to talk again. You know, there's incredible division and polarization going on. And it's just such a shame, I think, you know. And, yeah, there's this thing they talk about as well called rejection sensitivity dysphoria. I don't know if it's a real thing. I don't think it's in the diagnostic statistics manual, but it's all over TikTok anyway, I think. Funny enough, ironically, I think the World Health Organization does categorize it or whatever as a thing. But anyway, that could be part of it. Like, I think some people are saying it's part of ADHD or whatever as well, as a personal thing. But yeah, just trying to explain this. Being able to talk again without all these challenges, emotions, and all these, why do people have to be so argumentative all the time, even on TikTok, you know, I mention one thing and someone just immediately comes in with a challenge. Well, it shouldn't be like that because blah, blah, blah. It's like, I'm just saying is it so hard to just understand like this part of it? One guy actually responded, he was quite nice. He was like, oh, well, I didn't know that's what you meant. I apologize. Fine, but you shouldn't have had that reaction. Like, it hears me what saying you shouldn't again, or you should again. But we shouldn't, I shouldn't, I wouldn't want to. And I guess in aggregate, I'm kind of saying in generalization, and the way society is, and that's the thing. Like, if you go
if you go to a pub now and talk with people, I mean, I haven't done that in such a long time, but you'd have to be so careful about your opinions these days. Any opinions, not just those things. People can feel that, right? Everybody knows that because of the internet, because of the information and everything. You have to be just so careful now. What you say, how you say it. You can't just talk anymore. It doesn't feel like progress. Unfortunately. Now, of course, I don't want to be going around upsetting people either. But then, if you're going to agree with, it's none of my business what other people think, then it is also not none of my business what they feel. So therefore, it's a them problem about how they feel about things. And then it's only a my problem about how I feel about their response, if we're going to talk about boundaries there. And therefore, then, isn't it my right to just say, to freedom of speech, to say what's on my mind, to say if there's something on my mind, and not be afraid to say it. See what I'm saying? It can kind of get a little complicated.
Where does the fluoride come from that they add to the drinking water? And I'm afraid the sad response is, an accurate response is, it is not pharmaceutical grade fluoride. It's not the same kind of fluoride that we get in toothpaste or other dental products. Why don't they use pharmaceutical grade? It would be too expensive to use pharmaceutical grade. Okay, so what do they use? They use a waste product, a hazardous waste product from the phosphate fertilizer industry. For about 100 years, the process for making soluble phosphate to use as a fertilizer is to take insoluble phosphate rock, dig up that rock, and then add concentrated sulfuric acid. And that reaction between those two chemicals puts off two very toxic gases, hydrogen fluoride, HF, and silicon tetrafluoride, SiF4. And over the 100 years, many examples of severe poisoning of the local environment. The fluoride gases and dust falls on the grass, the cows eat the grass, it cripples the cows, ruins their teeth, and so on. And the EPA required the phosphate fertilizer industry to put a scrubber on, a spray of water. And that spray of water converts these two gases, hydrogen fluoride and silicon tetrafluoride, to a new substance called hexafluorosilicic acid, H2SiF6. Now, this is where we get to the bizarre point. They can't dump this scrubbing liquor containing hexafluorosilicic acid into the sea by international law. They can't dump it locally, because it's far too concentrated and corrosive. But if they sell it to somebody, if somebody is willing to buy this, it becomes a product under hazardous waste regulations. If the chemical industry can sell a hazardous waste product, it then becomes a product. And for the chemical industry, that makes sense. And for the EPA, it makes sense for industry to be recycling its toxic chemicals rather than dumping them somewhere. But in this case, it doesn't make sense at all, because it allows the public water suppliers, when they buy this stuff, it becomes a product, then they put it in the drinking water, and we're exposed to it with less oversight than there would be if it was treated as a hazardous waste. There's another issue, that the hexafluorosilicic acid has in it, in the process of making it, other contaminants, arsenic, lead, mercury, even traces of radioactive isotopes. And the question to any decision maker in the public is, do you really want trace amounts of these materials, especially when the EPA says about arsenic and lead, there are no safe levels because they are human carcinogens. So So any level of arsenic exposure, any level of lead exposure, potentially will increase cancer rates in the United States. And that's why, to many people, it's unpalatable to be drinking what has originated as a hazardous waste product from the phosphate fertilizer industry.
Force of nature at hand, stirring all over the world. They are the young people whom, frankly, we have failed, who are angry, who are organized, who are capable of making a difference. They are a moral army. And the most important thing that we can do for them is to get the hell out of their way.
Okay, this was 8 years ago, Obama, EU-US summit.
But with time, so long as we remain united, the Russian people will recognize that they cannot achieve security, prosperity, and the status that they seek through brute force. That's why throughout this crisis, we will combine our substantial pressure on Russia with an open door for diplomacy. I believe that for both Ukraine and Russia, a stable peace will come through de-escalation. Direct dialogue between Russia and the government of Ukraine and the international community. Monitors who can ensure that the rights of all Ukrainians are protected. A process of constitutional reform within Ukraine, and free and fair elections this spring. So far, Russia has resisted diplomatic overtures, annexing Crimea and massing large forces along Ukraine's border. Russia has justified these actions as an effort to prevent problems on its own borders and to protect ethnic Russians inside Ukraine. Of course, there is no evidence, never has been, of systemic violence against ethnic Russians inside of Ukraine. Moreover, many countries around the world face similar questions about their borders and ethnic minorities abroad, about sovereignty and self-determination. These are tensions that have led, in other places, to debate and democratic referendums.
You just have to flood a country's public square with enough raw sewage. You just have to raise enough questions, spread enough dirt, plant enough conspiracy theorizing that citizens no longer know what to believe. Once they lose trust in their leaders, in mainstream media, in political institutions, in each other, in the possibility of truth, the game's won. You just have to flood.
Because when he's posted the genetic code, because it was from that that you were able to start working on it, understanding what was actually happening here.
Yeah.
So once you have that code, why is that important? What does that unlock for you?
Yeah, absolutely. And I have to thank the Chinese authorities, because without that, we really couldn't have done anything. So because we use a DNA medicine vaccine, we need the genetic code to be able to design the vaccine. So as soon as we received that code, we were able to immediately start designing the vaccine. And in 3 hours, we had a design ready and ready to go.
Three hours to design a vaccine. So one of the most important things for you guys, I guess, is the investment behind it in order to manufacture something like this on that scale.
Absolutely.
Like, is this the one that has the backing of Bill Gates?
Exactly. So we downloaded the sequences from the Chinese government. We put it into our proprietary algorithm that generates the vaccines. And in 2 hours, we had the vaccine already designed and it went straight into manufacture.
And he's posted...
And that clip there from some Good Morning Britain TV But that's all for now. I'm just going to get this uploaded as quick as I can so that another week doesn't go by and it's not uploaded. And so I hope you're having a good day. Hope you have a good week. And that's all from the Woke Gathering. Thank you for tuning in. And check out more on the Onsug over Netscape Underground radio station outside of Oak. And check out the Overnightscape and all the other good shows. And I'm sure there'll be more next week here on The World Gathering. Hopefully that was useful somehow for me this week. That's all. Goodbye for now.